morning. How many of you are glad to be in God's house this morning? I drove by Dunkin' Donuts this morning and saw his line crossers out in the parking lot. The motorcycle crew are here. Can I hear an amen for the motorcycle crew at 29 degrees? Dear Lord. We have folks in this house, they travel over an hour. How many here travel over an hour to church? Look at that. There was a man on Friday night, he traveled 4.5 hours to be here and gave his heart to Jesus Christ on Friday night. I do want to give God a testimony as well. Our Bible college, Region Bible Institute, went down to Texas to do a revival, and over 110 people gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ while the Bible school students were down in Texas doing ministry. We've just heard from our pastor in Campeche, Mexico. If I say Campeche, some of you, that's the most Spanish you'll ever know. Glory to God. And Campeche, and he wanted to say that he loved you and that the Campeche church is shouting today with us. They're our family all the way down in Mexico, and God's going to do great and mighty things all over the world. Amen? Are you excited again to be in God's house? Why don't we all stand to our feet? We want to welcome all of our guests. We're going to do that a little bit later. We want you to know the style of worship that we have here is we actually get excited about Jesus here. I said we actually get excited about Jesus here. See, you got no reason. Easter celebration is different from all other religions. Why is that? Because all the rest of those guys are still in the grave, but our Jesus rose again. Can I hear an amen? I got a reason to shout. I was in darkness, but God brought me out. You see, I got a reason to be happy. Jesus washed my sins away. Amen? You see, on this day, he came out of the grave after 3 days. He had in his pocket the keys of death and hell, and he had a little mess on his foot as he put it down on the devil's head and gave us complete victory in Jesus. So today, come on, can I hear a shout for Jesus this morning? Now, for those who are from more liturgical style backgrounds, we ask that you just hang on to the chair in front of you a little bit stronger. And let's turn to someone and say, you're going to be all right. You will be. We're just trying to get you ready for heaven. What's heaven going to be like? We're not going to be quiet. We're going to be shouting because we're in his presence. Can I hear one more shout for the risen Messiah? We are going to ask one more thing. If there are empty seats in the middle of your row, and I know a lot of people don't like to do this, but there are over 720 or 30 chairs in the room. We have an overflow room set up, but we know we're looking across the congregation. If there are empty seats, if you could just move in so somebody comes in a little bit late would have a place to sit. And now if you don't want to do that, that's all right. They'll just crawl over you. Glory to God. But we just want people to be able to come in and be able to sit quickly so that they're not as uncomfortable. Amen. So I'm going to have my wife, Pastor Rhonda Spencer, pray this morning. How many of you watched her on His Word TV this morning on ABC and CBS? So let's hear the prayer.
Father, we just adore you this morning. We pour out our praise to you and our gratitude for the great price that you paid. As we celebrate your resurrection this morning, we don't forget the price that you paid for that resurrection, the price that you paid and all that you went through on Good Friday and the crucifixion. Father God, right now, we worship you with our praise this morning. Let it glorify you and let it bless your heart in comparison to what you did for us. We will praise you with all of our being this morning, with everything that we have. Let's praise him this morning in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
If you want to worship around the altar, you're more than welcome. Come around the altar and worship the Lord.
H.E., good morning. I don't hear nobody. Are you ready to worship? I still can't hear you. Let everything that had breath open your mouth and scream. this.
The Lamb that was slain is alive. Forever he shall reign. He's alive.
Crucified.
Crucified at Calvary, but he rose in victory.
He's alive with all power in his name.
our Father.
Our Father.
All of heaven.
All of heaven. Rush your name.
Speak louder.
Sing louder.
Let this place erupt in praise.
Let this place erupt.
Can you hear it?
Can you hear it?
The sound of heaven.
The sound of heaven.
Break our walls down. this building. Lift your heart. Spirit, break out on every person in this place. Sit upon every individual in the midst of the temple. Shake, rattle, and roll the anointing and power of God. This is another day that's been made, and we are rejoicing in it. Let every heart that's glad that they are born again lift your voice and worship the King.
we sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
The Lamb is
overcome.
We say it to him.
We sing hallelujah.
We sing
hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
The Lamb Bring it up, son.
Is
Come on.
Hallelujah. Jesus is moving in this place right now. You know, when they were in the garden, Jesus made a decision. Not my will, but yours be done. And then they came for him. And he said, who do you look after? Who are you searching after? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And at that moment, he made a declaration. And I want to make it this morning. He said, I am. Oh, I got to say it again. He said, I am. Jesus, we declare you as God in this room. We declare you as a risen Savior this morning. We declare you in power and majesty. We declare you sitting at the right hand of the Father. We declare you, Jesus, as the victor, as the conqueror. We declare you, Jesus, as our Lord and our Savior. Today, Jesus, we don't just come to a religious service. We come to serve you. We come to declare you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we know that you are the one who is moving over us even right now. And I pray in Jesus' name, the name that's above every name, that any spirit that's blinding the mind of the unbeliever, I command you to come off in the name of Jesus. Father, that we may see the revelation of God. We may come to the saving knowledge in our life, have purpose and destiny for eternity. Lord, today we declare as unlike any other. Not because it's a celebration. Lord, we do Easter every Sunday. But because, Jesus, you are alive. And we proclaim you as living and not dead. In Jesus' name. And everybody said. I said everybody said. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. While you're heading back to your chair or just before you turn around and sit down, if you'll look to the person to your right or to your left or maybe behind you and say, well, good morning. Welcome you. We welcome you to coming. We thank you for coming to Easter service. Come on, I didn't see anybody do that. Come on, turn around to somebody and say, good morning. Welcome to Easter Sunday service. Welcome you all to Easter Sunday service at His Tabernacle Family Church. If you'll look around, this is what we're praying for every Sunday, twice. Now we have two services on a Sunday morning, 9 and 11, and what we're believing God for is that every Sunday morning, every service will be Easter Sunday. So we're believing the Lord there'll be 1,000 per service every Sunday morning. Now, you might say, is that possible? Oh, my goodness, are you kidding? Do you know how many people are in this arena? How many people that do not know Christ in our area? My goodness, we could fill this church 10 times on a Sunday morning. I'm believing that with that, God is going to change and transform our region. We are not a town church. You might find us in the middle of a cornfield. But we're not here because we like corn. And we are not children of the corn. We are here because we know that God has sent us to transform this region. The body of Christ is not dead. The church is not dead. It is not a religious institution. It is the body of the living God. And I thank the Lord that you're in this building. We want to welcome all of our guests. Listen, if you're a first-time guest, this is what we do know. We do know that the very first time you go to a church, it's very uncomfortable. We want you to know we recognize that. And can I say this, my wife and I, we honor you for coming. Can we honor the guests for coming this morning? Now, a lot of people, I do this, and a lot of people don't know that, but when I go on vacation on a Sunday, I don't take my Sunday off. I actually go to a church that I've never been to before. I do that because I don't ever want to forget what it's like to go to a church for the very first time. And I want to make your experience, we want to make your experience the best. We want you to have the liberty and the freedom to experience Jesus like you've never experienced him before. Because you see, we're not here because we're religious. We're here because we love God. And that's why you saw people getting excited around the altar. That's why you heard people shouting. Oh, I've never seen that before. You know, was there anybody rolling in the aisles? No, they were full. But I did see people raise their hand. What is that raising hand stuff? No, we're not checking our deodorants. If I took a gun, stuck it in your chest, and said, stick them up, give me all your money, you're going to surrender. When you see people raise their hands in church, it's not weird. God said raise your hands without wrath or malice. Why? Because what you're showing is you're showing the outward expression of what you're doing inside. I surrender. Turn to someone and say, I surrender. So today we want to welcome all of the guests. If it's your very first time at His Tabernacle Family Church, I'm not going to have you stand and introduce you, so don't worry. But if it's your very first time at His Tabernacle, if you'll raise your hand up, we'd love to celebrate you. Hand over there, sir, over there. Do we have, no. Where's there, over here, over, I know there are more guests than that. Very good, sir. I talked to you earlier, man. You did good during worship. It wasn't bad. Come on, very good. Over. Come on, can I have all the guests just raise your hand? Come on, raise it up. Raise it up. Very good. Awesome. Come on, give them a shout. We also want to welcome our online church, our online campus. Every single Sunday, there are about 75 to 100 computers that watch live stream all over the world. In fact, we have people right now watching all from all over the world watching this service right now. And we want to welcome our online campus. Can we give them a hand clap as well? Today, we got some exciting things. All the women that are 18 and older, did you receive a red raffle ticket? Which ladies did not receive a red raffle ticket that are 18 and over? We want to get one for you. Ladies, not men. Very good. Ladies, 18 or over, we have hands up. Make sure you get to those. Ladies, we want you to fill that out because next Sunday morning, we're giving away a spa package. And tickets to the mother-daughter brunch in May. So now, Maz, let me, ladies, and hands are up. Come on, if you want to get one, keep your hand up. Now, you have to be here next Sunday to receive it. Turn to someone and say, you got to be here to win the prize. So next Sunday morning, I'm going to be preaching on the mind. You don't want to miss that message. How many of you missed 2 weeks ago on the or last week on the mind? Our minds, while they're passing those out, I'll just say it to you. Our minds fire 400 billion times a second in the non-conscious portion, 24 hours a day. Our minds fire 2,000 times a second in our conscious man. And 40 times a second, our subconscious and our conscience merge together for all decisions and thoughts. You have, turn to someone and say, I have 300 billion plus years of memory. So turn to someone and say, I think I still got this thing. Next week, we're going to be preaching about how to allow the seeds of your thoughts to change your life. My wife wants to talk about the women's Mother's Day brunch.
We celebrate women every single year, and that's coming up on May 6th. 7th and 8th, May 7th on the Saturday, we do a Women's Day brunch just to celebrate all of the ladies in the house. The cost is $20 for adults, and for 12 and under, it's $10. So bring all the ladies out that you love and celebrate with us. And then that Sunday, Women's Day Sunday, we are going to be giving out a free coffee tea mug to every single woman that comes. Well, I think like the first 500 ladies. Oh, we might need to buy more mugs, I feel like, this year. We'll do 750 mugs this year. So the first 750 ladies that come on Women's Day will get a free mug. And we're also giving away on that day, so make sure you're here, another spa package. I don't know why he won't let me put my name in, but he will be giving away another spa package on that day also.
So we want you to know that you're important. You guys are saying, what about us? Gentlemen, and maybe some of you ladies, we have Men's Day coming, but also, who here rides motorcycle? Look at all the bikers in the room. All the bikers in the room. I didn't say bicycle. I ride bikes. I crashed for the very first time. I crashed last night on the road. I was like, oh, Jesus, that hurts. But I ride Harley, too, and if you don't ride a Harley, it's all motorcycles. We have the bike blessing at the end of May. Last year, we had 150 registrants. This year, I'm believing for 250 registrants. All the money is not a dime is taken from the church, all given to the Juvenile Diabetes Fund. So we just give it all away. Make sure you read your bulletin or get online. We just launched our new website yesterday. So if you haven't been on the new website, you want to get on there. It's going to be awesome and exciting. So let's welcome my wife as she receives the offering this morning for the Lord.
Amen. So as you're preparing this morning on this special day, your tithe and offering, I want to make sure that we're giving our best to God as we prepare today. In Hebrews 9, verse 26, I want to talk about the sacrifice that God made for us, for our sins and for our healing. In verse 9:26, it says that he gave his life as a sacrifice for our sins. For my sins is why he hung on that tree and why he was brutally beaten. If you've watched The Passion, you know, you hear about what God did on the cross, but when you see the price that he was willing to pay for me and for my sins, just as a human being. Now, he didn't have special powers that made it easy for him to go through that pain and that suffering. He did it because he saw you. He saw you, and that's why he did it. He knew that we would sin and that we would need forgiveness of sin. He knew that we would need healing and miracles in our bodies, and he did that for you. It says, he said in his word that no man takes my life, but I lay it down. He could have called 10,000 angels at any moment to stop the pain, to stop the agony. It was too much, but he saw you. And you were worth the sacrifice, the gift that he gave for us. I love that song that we were singing. The Lamb has overcome. He has overcome. What he did on the cross was for whatever you are going through right now. The Lamb has overcome. No sin is too great. You have not gone too far. You have not messed up too many times, because that price that he paid was for you. And today, as we give, let's give in response to his gift to us, and let's give our best to our King. Are you ready to give? Let's stand to our feet. Yes, very important, ladies. Do not forget to bring your red raffle ticket up and place it in the offering with your tithe, because that drawing will be next Sunday. So ladies, bring your raffle ticket. There will be offering buckets in the middle and in the front to make it a little less congestion. Make sure you're friendly and you say hi to a few people as you're walking through. Let's make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God. Now, this is simply the Bible. It's Deuteronomy, verse 28, and we like to declare this every single week. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up, because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your gifts to the King this morning. Remember to bring your red raffle tickets. If you're watching by a live stream, you can click on the giving button and give right along with us as we welcome the children this morning.
Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the children? I do want to say this. I love to give honor where honor is due. Where's Brenda? Brenda, come thither, come yon. This is Brenda Ostrander. Brenda Ostrander is our children's minister. It really is something to shout about. You might be wondering why. On a given Sunday, her and her team minister. We do not babysit. We teach the children the Word of God. They minister to about 160 children under the age of 12 every single Sunday morning. Isn't that awesome? Every single month, there's 260 children that are in the children's ministry on Sunday mornings. And that does not include on Wednesday nights, we minister to children. We bring in over 120 children every single week, feed them, clothe them, and love on them. So every week, I just want to thank God for this great woman. She is doing a phenomenal job with her team, and she's training the next generation to do great and mighty things for Jesus. Amen. And I guarantee you she doesn't get paid a lot of money. She does it because she loves the children and wants to see the next generation. Do you realize in 10 years what the church is going to look like? It's going to look like what our children look like. So we need to raise our babies up to be sold out for Jesus. Can I hear an amen? So let's give one more hand clap for the children, for the team. Pastor Johnson, he's our worship pastor, Pastor Johnson. He's our worship pastor, and he spends time every week training the children for this moment of time. Parents, this is what happens. You get to see your kids up here. I would encourage you to start bringing your children every single week. Grandma and grandpa, you might not be able to get your kids here, your children here, but you can get their children's children. Can I hear an amen? Bring them. Let's raise them up in the kingdom of God.
Sometimes they pause and they turn around.
Come on, give the kids a shout. Praise the Lord. Isn't it exciting to see a whole generation of young people that love God? Oh, I know, baby. It is scary. It's funny because the adults get up here and they look out and they go, oh, my goodness. Because there's a lot of folks out there. Turn to someone and say, well, I'm glad you're here. But that means you're part of a lot of folks. And it's exciting when you stand up here. Can you imagine being a child looking out at all the crowd? There's a whole crowd out here. We just want to welcome you all. Hi, let me see. You're looking for one child. Hi, buddy. I need him. Come over here, bubby. Mommy's right over here. The dude's got a great hat, doesn't he? You are so beautiful. Keep going. What a great day, isn't it? You know, as a pastor of His Tabernacle Family Church, I just need you to know how privileged it is for my wife and I to serve. You know, a lot of people have misconstrued mindsets of, you know, we're high and lifted up, and this is Pastor Spencer's church. This isn't my church. It's God's church. You see, you aren't my people, you're God's people. And I just get my wife and I get the awesome privilege, and our whole team get the awesome privilege of ministering to you. Sharing, really, that this is not about religion, but truly about Jesus. You know, we have some rules here at the house that are very important, and that is, number one, we don't allow gossip. Turn to someone and say, no gossip allowed. We do that for a reason. That is because Jesus told us, when this church was launched, that we would have to have an enormous amount of grace and mercy because people would be coming that no one would ever have thought would have ever beckoned the door of a church. But we want you to know that you're welcome here. As you can tell, the building did not fall in when you walked in. We shored up the walls just for you. I had a man say to me once, he says, I can't come to His Tabernacle. If I go to the church, then the whole building's going to collapse. I'm so evil. And I said, well, we'll shore up the walls for you, and you'll be okay. So we want you to know, thank you so much for being here. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, we're going to give an invitation at the end. And we want you to know honestly that we're not asking you to join a church. We're not asking you to join a religion. We absolutely want you to know Jesus. When you know Him, everything changes. It's not about, well, I go to church. Well, the devil goes to church too. You know that, right? Well, I believe in God. The Bible says even the devils believe in God and tremble. So it's not going to church that gets you to heaven. It's not being religious that gets you to heaven. It's not the tag you got when you were a child that gets you to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Wow, it takes a long time to get all... Hey. Get over here. You. This is a Palco child. His mother and I, we used to compare stomachs. I beat her for many months, but she had twins, so she surpassed me. But this kid's got to be taller than me. Look at all these people. This kid's going to be taller than me. Get out. Today we have an awesome presentation for you from the drama team of His Tabernacle. It's called The Case of the Missing Body, Pastor Johnson. Let's welcome Pastor Johnson as he comes.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for allowing us to do this, Pastor and Pastor Rhonda. It is just a pleasure to have an opportunity to present drama in the church. On today, you're going to see a lot of people doing a lot of different things, and could you just applaud all the people that put in the hard work and time to do what we do? I said it privately, and they're still putting some things together. I said it privately, but I'll say it publicly. When the applause comes, and this is real talk for me, I never take it for myself. As soon as someone says, hey, they did a great job, I make sure I pass it to them. And if you ever feel that you're at a place where you're all of that, as they say where I'm from, and a bag of chips and a tall cherry Coke, means that you think you're very good and all that, you're sadly mistaken. No person can do anything without people. Now watch this. I'm going to mess some of you all's theology up. Jesus couldn't do what he did without people, because he died, but he left an assignment for people in the earth. You can come to Bible school on that. I'll give you that for free. Amen. But on today, what's going to take place on today? We all know that Jesus died on the cross. But then something strange happened. They said he got up out of the grave. Now, did you not know Buddha died? Muhammad died. Confucius died. But there is no story that talks about them getting up. Is it true that Jesus really got up out of the grave? Is it a myth? Did the disciples or the apostles steal his body? Or did the Roman soldiers take his body? You may be wondering to yourself, did Jesus really get up out of the grave? Well, today we're not going to do Easter like we've done in times past, where he comes down the aisle and he's being beaten. We're going to take you to a modernized version of Jesus, 21st century. Did he actually get up out of the grave? Because we cannot find his body. Let's roll.
Good morning. This is WHTV News Channel 7, and I'm Liz Scott. Today's story, the case of the missing body, has reached a boiling point that is creating a major stir. The body of Jesus has yet to be recovered. Many speculations are circulating to the whereabouts of the body, yet the authorities have focused their case on those closest to Jesus. It is believed that the 12 men that have come to be known as the apostles probably have taken their leader's body to an undisclosed location. This just in, we're just now learning that the body of one of the 12 apostles, Judas Iscariot, has been found dead near his home. It is believed that Judas was responsible for turning Jesus over to the Roman government for a substantial amount of money. Authorities have not found any evidence that this is a homicide. In fact, they're ruling his death to be a suicide. Let's bring in our WHTV news correspondent, Katie Sanford, as she updates us live from the courthouse. Katie?
Good morning, Liz. The scene down here is filled with great trepidation. These people, who are believed to be the followers of Jesus of Nazareth, have gathered here at the courthouse and have begun protesting. They are asking for the release of the now 11 apostles and believe that Jesus rose according to scripture written. We do know that the 11 apostles have been captured and taken into custody. Due to the enormous security surrounding this case, they are being held at an undisclosed location. We do know that all 11 are scheduled to stand trial this morning.
Cut. We understand that high-profile District Attorney Sharon Curtis is defending for the state. She's known for prosecuting some of the top cases we have seen.
Liz, we're being told that District Attorney Curtis is pulling up right now.
The body. Jesus. The body. Jesus.
What do we want?
The body. Jesus.
What do we want?
The body.
Miss Curtis, may we get a quick word with you before you enter the courthouse? What are your feelings surrounding this case?
Well, some say the government is behind this, but we have built a strong and sturdy case of substantial evidence that shows these apostles are guilty of this insidious crime. I predict a conviction.
Well, there you have it. Back to you, Liz.
Katie, before you go, they tell me that this young upstart defense attorney has his hands full, being that this case is filled with so many big names. Our producers are telling me he's pulling up to the courthouse right now. Is it possible for you to get a word with him?
Mr. Matthews, can we get a quick word with you about this case?
Yes, it is my desire to prove that my clients are innocent of this ridiculous accusation. With careful examination, I believe that our judicial system will prove them innocent. Thank you.
Jesus!
Well, Liz, we've heard from both lawyers at this time, and now is the moment we've all been waiting for. Reporting live from Chemung County Courthouse, I'm Katie Sanford.
Thank you, Katie. We hear that the apostles have arrived at the courthouse under intense security. The lawyers are in place, and Judge Sandra Peterson is ready for court to begin. Let's go live to courtroom 3.
This court of the 19th Judicial Circuit, with the Honorable Judge Sandra Peterson presiding, is now in session. All rise. You may be seated.
Court will now come to order. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, this case involves the missing body of Jesus Christ from the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. The chief priests and the elders are the plaintiffs in this case. The defendants are as follows: Peter, Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, and Simon. The chief priests and the elders are asking you to decide whether or not these 11 men stole the body of Jesus Christ from this said tomb, leaving just a few linen cloths behind. Chief priest and elders' attorney, would you like to make an opening statement today?
Yes, Your Honor.
You may go ahead.
Good morning. The evidence in this case will prove that between the 13th and the 14th night of Nisan, these 11 apostles broke into the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and stole the body of their leader, Jesus Christ, and took it to an undisclosed location. When Mary Magdalene came to the tomb on the morning of the 14th, the stone covering the mouth of the tomb had already been rolled away. The only thing left inside that tomb was some linen cloth, some aloe, some myrrh that was used for embalming. The only reasonable explanation in this case will be that these gentlemen were the conspirators behind it all. Thank you.
Thank you. Defense counsel, you may now address the jury.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, my clients are... they have been wrongly accused of the charges brought to you today by the plaintiff. Now, my clients are followers of the aforementioned Jesus Christ, but they are in no way guilty of this ridiculous accusation. It will be made clear beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ's body was not stolen as they claim, but Jesus Christ, as he said he would, rose from the grave of his own volition without any assistance from my clients or anybody else for that matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Plaintiff's counsel, you may now call your first witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. We call Mr. Jackson Ripley to the stand.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God?
Yes, I do.
You may be seated.
Good morning, sir. Good morning. Could you please state your name for the court?
Yes, Ripley, Jackson Ripley.
And Mr. Ripley, where do you live?
I live in that large mansion in Mammon Hills, just the north of the Sea of Galilee. You know the place.
I do. Mr. Ripley, is it true that you heard Jesus say the quote, let me get this, make sure I get it right, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days?
Yes, that is correct. That is exactly what I heard with my own ears.
Well, wouldn't it be safe to say that this was a very dangerous individual? I mean, we're talking about destroying the temple of God here. And well, wouldn't it be safe to say that maybe followers of this gentleman could be just as dangerous, if not thieves and robbers?
Objection. Counsel is leading the witness.
That is sustained. Please scratch that last part from the record.
Thank you.
I have no further questions, Your Honor.
Defense counsel, you may now cross-examine.
Thank you, Your Honor. Yes, Mr. Ripley, you were just quoted as saying that Jesus said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. Is that true?
Yes, that's correct.
But isn't it true that what Jesus really said was destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up?
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's what you said? No, Mr. Ripley, no, it's not. You quoted Jesus as saying, I am able to destroy the temple. But what Jesus simply said was, destroy this temple. Jesus, referring to himself, did not destroy himself. You are implying by your quote that Jesus said that he was going to destroy the temple, which he did not say or mean at all. Somebody else, rather, of whom you are a part, would be destroying the temple of God.
I object, Your Honor. Defense is counted. He's badgering the witness.
Mr. Matthews.
No further questions.
Thank you. You are dismissed. You may now call your next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. I called Dr. Edwin Thurman to the stand, please.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you, God.
I do.
You may be seated.
Good morning.
Morning.
Could you please state your name for the court?
Yes, my name is Dr. Edwin Thurman, MD, PhD, DDS.
For the court, what's your primary occupation?
I am a physician at the Jerusalem School of Medicine.
Are you acquainted with this Jesus of Nazareth?
I am.
Would you say he was in good physical condition?
Objection? Relevance to the case?
Your Honor, I'm making a point, I promise.
The objection is overruled. Please, get to your point, counsel.
Doctor, let me restate my question, please. Would you say that this Jesus of Nazareth was in good physical condition?
Yes, I would say the validity of this man's health is, in fact, undeniable. This man, as I last recall, was in top physical condition. In regards to medical history, there is no evidence or record of him ever even stepping foot in a hospital in regards to medical care or any form of medical attention. It's almost seems as if it's supernatural.
Supernatural? Could you elaborate on that?
There was this woman, a patient of mine that I have been treating for several years, who's had an issue of blood of some sorts, as we should say. And she heard miracles, testimonies of miracles that this Jesus had been performing for other patients. And so she sought this man out, and upon encounter, she was immediately healed. But the way that the healing manifested, very, very confusing. She was immediately healed by simply touching him. I wanted to look into this further, but I simply haven't had the time.
By a touch. Well then, don't you think it's possible for a man who is in such great condition to withstand many a wound to his body? Maybe when he was taken down from the cross, since he was in such great shape. And let's face it, you said he healed someone just from a touch. So when the Roman guard took him off the cross because he was in such great shape, don't you think it's possible that maybe the aroma of the spices and the coolness of the tomb that he revived?
Objection? This is all conjecture.
Your Honor, I'm getting to my point, I promise.
That objection is overruled. Answer the question, Dr. Thurman.
Yes, I suppose that can happen.
Thank you for your testimony, Doctor. Your Honor, I have no more questions.
Thank you. You may now cross-examine, defense counsel.
Thank you. Mr. Thurman, I would like to clarify, you are a physician, are you not?
I am.
Okay, and please forgive me. I'm not trying to be rude or disrespectful. How many people have you seen come to after being crucified?
I have never witnessed or seen anyone survive a crucifixion.
Never?
No.
Okay, so it is an established fact that the Roman guards asked the Jews,
to break the legs of those being crucified that day. They wanted them to die faster when they were hanging on the cross, and they didn't want the bodies hanging on the crosses during the Sabbath. Now, Mr. Thurmond, doctor, I apologize, could you please explain to the court why the Roman soldiers did not break the legs of Jesus Christ when ordered to do so?
They did not break the legs of Jesus Christ because he was pronounced dead.
He was pronounced dead. A Roman soldier thrust a spear into his side, did he not?
Yes, sir.
And what came out?
Blood and water.
Blood and water came out. So in your vast experience as a medical professional, what would that say to you indicating the medical condition of Jesus Christ at that moment?
That would indicate that his heart had exploded.
His heart exploded. If the plaintiff's counsel is to be correct, then Jesus survived the following. Allow me to recap for everybody in the court. Severe beating, loss of blood, crucifixion, further loss of blood, a spear being shoved into his side, producing a gaping wound from which blood and water flowed out. A medical expert just testified that his heart had exploded. He survived 3 days without food and water. Survived entombment with 100 pounds of spices on his already weakened body. He woke up without any medical assistance, now having lost most of his blood. He unearthed himself from a tomb by pushing a huge boulder out of the way that a healthy man would have a struggle with. Once outside, he overpowered a group of Roman soldiers that are elite killing machines, then promptly walked 7 miles to Emmaus on feet that have been pierced with nails.
I object, Your Honor.
What is your objection?
Don't you point at me, Counselor.
Order.
I don't answer to you because this isn't your courtroom.
Order in this court. That is enough.
I have no further questions, Your Honor.
You may be dismissed. Thank you. Plaintiff's counsel, you may now call your next witness.
We call Joseph of Arimathea to the stand.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I do.
You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you please state your name for the court?
Yes, it is Joseph of Arimathea.
Joseph, did you request the body of Jesus from Pontius Pilate?
Yes, yes, I did.
Okay. Did you place the body in your own brand new tomb?
Yes, I did that.
Once the body was in the tomb, did you wrap the body in linen?
All by myself, yep.
Okay. Did you then roll this giant boulder over the tomb all by yourself?
Well, it wasn't fun, but yeah.
All by yourself. So then what you're telling the court is that you, and you alone, had complete control over the body of Jesus Christ.
Yep, that sums it up.
You got him from Pontius Pilate, you put him in the tomb, you wrapped him in linen, you rolled the stone over the mouth of your tomb.
Yes.
Okay. So, I suppose it's also possible then to think that you, since you had complete control over this body, could have hidden some instruments inside these linens and conspiring with our defendants here to, what, overpower the Roman guards and take the body of Jesus? And is it true?
I object to these preposterous ramblings.
Preposterous or true, Counselor? Are you afraid of the truth?
Wisdom is justified of her children, Counselor.
Order!
We'll see.
Counselors, approach the bench.
Yes, ma'am.
There will be no more of these outbursts in my courtroom. Am I understood, counselors?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is there any more questions for this witness?
I have no more questions, Your Honor.
Would you like to cross-examine?
Yes.
Please do so.
Thank you, Your Honor. Joseph, thank you for being here today.
Thanks.
I just have one question. As you were transporting and preparing and wrapping the body of Jesus Christ for burial, did you notice anything out of the ordinary?
No, I did not.
Everything was fine?
Perfectly fine.
I have no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. You may be dismissed. Plaintiff's counsel, any more witnesses for us today?
Just one, Your Honor. I call Detective Harriet Reisner to the stand.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I do.
You may be seated.
Good morning, Detective.
Good morning.
Could you please state your name for the court?
My name is Harriet Reisner.
And where do you work?
I work at JBI, the Jerusalem Bureau of Investigations.
So you have been working on this case, have you not?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Can you tell us what you've concluded from your professional point of view, being that you are with the Jerusalem Bureau of Investigation? What have you concluded about this case?
Well, we looked at this case in every possible angle. First, we looked at the fact that Jesus Christ was never put in the tomb in the first place, but that he was thrown out with the rest of the criminals. But we found this to be false because we could not locate the body. Secondly, we looked at the fact that everybody who saw Jesus were in delusion, that none of the followers of Jesus ever expected him to raise in the first place, so why would they be in delusion and think that they saw him? But we found this out because none of the followers ever expected him to rise, so why would they see him and be in delusion? Thirdly, we looked at the possibility of mistaken identity. Maybe somebody trying to impersonate Jesus, trying to gain attention to themselves, possibly even one of the followers. But again, we found that to be false because, like I said earlier, none of the followers ever expected him to rise in the first place.
So, you and the investigators were very, very thorough in your investigation, correct?
Please, get to your conclusion, Detective.
Yes, we were very thorough in our investigations, and what we found out to be true was that the followers of Jesus Christ came in at night and stole the body while the Roman soldiers were asleep.
Okay. I have no further questions, Your Honor.
Defense counsel, you may now cross-examine.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ms. Reisner, when you were investigating the tomb, what did you find in there? Was there anything at all?
The only thing that we found in the tomb were some linen cloths, and there was a napkin that was placed around his head, but that napkin wasn't lined with the other linen cloths, but it was in a pile by itself.
So you said the napkin was around, just trying to picture it. Now, were these clothes scattered around the tomb, or were they folded neatly and in order?
They were neat and in order.
So, in your experience as a law enforcement officer, when a group of individuals bust into an establishment to steal something, though they're in a hurry, don't they usually stop and clean the place and shine everything up, make it look nice?
No, they would completely trash the place.
Okay. Ms. Reisner, you see that the only possible conclusion that you came to was that my client stole the body and snuck past Roman guards. Could you explain how 11 citizens could sneak past an elite group of hardened Roman soldiers?
That is what they told us. I mean, they were eyewitnesses to the scene of the crime. How could I not say that that's false?
Eyewitnesses?
Yes.
Could you tell the court what the penalty is for a Roman soldier who fails at his post?
That penalty is death.
Were these soldiers put to death or reprimanded in any way?
Now that I think of it, no. They were not reprimanded in any way. As a matter of fact, my husband, who works at the local marketplace, saw these men walking around buying expensive things, clothes, electronic devices, and knowing how little they get paid, it was a little bit strange to think about that.
I got it. Now your investigation makes sense to me. Maybe my clients gave them some big bucks. You know, look away, you know, pay them off.
No, we ran a credit report on all 11 of these guys, and they had nothing to their name.
What exactly did the Roman soldiers say to you, Detective? They were there. If anybody knew what happened, they did.
The only thing that those Roman soldiers said was that these men came in at night and stole that body while they were asleep.
How can that be your conclusion? How? How can somebody who is asleep witness somebody sneaking by with a dead body? The smell would wake them up. I have no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. You are dismissed. Thank you. Plaintiff's counsel, any more witnesses for us today?
No, Your Honor. Plaintiff rests.
We will take a 30-minute break, and we will be back and reconvene. Thank you.
May be seated.
Welcome back to WHTV News Channel 7. I'm Liz Scott. The district attorney has presented her case, and things got pretty heated in the courtroom. Let's check in with our WHTV news correspondent, Katie Sanford, and see what the reaction from the crowd seems to be. Katie, are you there?
Yes, Liz, I'm here. The reaction seems to be mixed here in front of the courthouse during the prosecution's portion of this trial. We have no clear feeling either way at this point. Back to you, Liz.
Thank you, Katie. Now let's go back to courtroom 3 and see what the defense has to say.
This court of the 19th Judicial Circuit, with the Honorable Judge Sandra Peterson presiding, will now come back in session. All rise. You may be seated.
Court will now come back into order. Defense counsel, are you prepared with your case?
Yes, Your Honor.
You may proceed.
Thank you. I call Simon Peter to the stand.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. You may be seated.
Thank you for being here today, sir. Could you please state your name for the court?
Peter.
Peter. Peter, did you or anyone you know steal the body of Jesus Christ on the morning in question, or at any other time for that matter?
No.
No. Okay. So, before that morning, did you ever think that you would see Jesus again?
No. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about getting back into the fishing business. I had lost all hope of seeing him again.
Why?
I guess I just hardened my heart to believe what the prophets have spoken.
So, how do you explain what happened to the body of Jesus Christ?
Well, God raised Jesus, and we are all witnesses, whom they crucified. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and rose on the third day, according to the scriptures.
Okay. Could you explain what you mean by witnesses? Was it just one or two of you, or was it just you apostles?
Yeah, he was seen by me. He was seen by my brothers. He was seen by over 500 people at once. He was seen by others besides that.
I have no further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you. Plaintiff's counsel, you may cross-examine.
Thank you, Your Honor. Hello, Peter.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good.
That's good. Could you describe your relationship with Jesus for the court?
Yeah, we had a good relationship. I'd be considered in the inner circle. I want everybody here to know that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for our sins, and he is the only way into heaven. You must accept him into your heart in order to be saved.
Oh, Peter. I marvel at your boldness. For a fisherman, a simple fisherman, you have some vast biblical knowledge, sir. But, you know, I'm going to take that to mean you two were real close. At the time of his death, you must have been very grieved, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Good men have been known to do some pretty dastardly deeds when they're grieved. Heinous, even. So, what do you think? Trying circumstances? Have they not?
You know, I can't say what good men would do or not do. I can go by what I see and hear.
How convenient. I have no further questions, Your Honor.
You may be dismissed. Thank you. Defense counsel, any more witnesses for us today?
Yes, ma'am. Just one. I call Mary Magdalene to the stand.
Ms. Magdalene, please remove your glasses.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I do.
You may be seated.
Thank you for being here today. Could you please state your name from the court?
Yes, Mary Magdalene.
And where you're from, I'm sorry?
I'm from Magda, a town on the western shore of Lake Tiberias.
So, do you know these 11 men?
Yes.
Are they thieves? Or have you ever known them to steal anything or take anything that doesn't belong to them?
No, never. They are upright and honest men.
Could you please describe to the court what happened on the morning in question at the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea?
Yes. On Sunday morning, as dawn began to break, Mary and myself were on our way to see the tomb. We could see the tomb when a great earthquake shook the ground, and an angel of the Lord appeared to us. The angel rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His expression was like lightning, and his garments were white as snow. It was the most brilliant thing that I've ever seen. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Please continue at your own pace.
The Roman soldiers were shaking. They were so afraid of the angel, they laid down and appeared to be dead. The angel said, "Fear not, for I know that you are looking for Jesus Christ who is crucified. He is not here, but he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Now go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Go into Galilee, and there you shall see him. Lo, I have told you."
So did you go, and did you tell the disciples?
Yes, I did.
And did they believe you?
At first, no. They didn't believe me. They thought I was telling them a tale. But then Peter and John went to go see for themselves. They ate with him and sat with him. Then they believed.
I have no further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you. Plaintiff's counsel, you may now cross-examine the witness.
Oh, yes. That was some pretty emotional testimony. Do you need another tissue?
No, thank you.
No? You good? How about a glass of water? Could I get you some water?
No.
No. Okay. So you're good to go on?
Your Honor?
Yes.
All right. I'm just making sure she's okay, Your Honor.
Please proceed.
Okay, I will. So, Miss Magdalene, you seem to have a really special relationship with this Jesus of Nazareth. You followed him from Galilee, ministering unto him. And you were at the tomb when they put the body in there and rolled that big stone over it, weren't you?
Yes.
And then you came back Sunday morning. Why this special relationship?
Jesus healed me from evil spirits.
Oh, evil spirits. Well, for that, you must be pretty grateful, shouldn't you?
Why, of course.
So you'd probably do anything for this Jesus of Nazareth, correct? Would you lie and perpetrate a fraud?
Objection!
Plaintiff's counsel.
I'll withdraw that question. I have no further questions for this witness.
Thank you, Mary. You may be excused. Defense counsel, any more witnesses for us?
No, Your Honor, the defense rests.
Plaintiff's counsel, any more witnesses?
No, Your Honor, plaintiff rests.
Plaintiff's counsel, you may now address the jury with your closing arguments.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the evidence that you've heard here in this courtroom today just kind of proves that these 11 men stole the body of their leader, Jesus Christ. They snuck in using cover of darkness. They accomplished their dastardly deed, and then they snuck past the Roman guard and put Jesus in an undisclosed location. The evidence shows us that when Mary Magdalene and Mary, the son of James, came upon the tomb early Sunday morning, that stone had already been moved away, and that body was gone. The only possible, really, really good explanation that you can come to is that there was a dastardly crime committed, and these gentlemen, these conspirators in the courtroom with us today, I ask you to bring back a verdict in favor of the chief priests and elders and convict these gentlemen. Thank you so much for your time.
Defense counsel, you may now address the jury with your closing arguments.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, my clients are innocent. Plain and simple. How do you account for the grave clothes folded neatly and in order? Surely thieves and robbers wouldn't stop, take the time, and fold grave clothes. Why isn't the Roman guards were not put to death for failing at their post? That doesn't make any sense at all. I've never heard of a Roman guard living after failing at their post. Immediately executed. If we are to come to the conclusion that my client stole the body of Jesus Christ, then we must also conclude that logic, reason, and the facts have no part in our decision-making process whatsoever. I ask you, do the right thing. Bring back a verdict in favor of my clients and a decision against evil and the forces of darkness that the plaintiff represents. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you have heard all the evidence presented before you today, and this case is now in your hands. You will go to the jury room, and you will have to decide whether or not these 11 men are guilty or not guilty of these crimes. We will return after you come back with your verdict. Thank you.
All rise. May be seated.
Welcome back to WHTV News Channel 7. I'm Liz Scott. The lawyers have presented all evidence in the case, and now it is in the hands of the jury to decide. Let's check in with our... What? Already? This just in, apparently the jury has already reached a verdict. Let's go live to courtroom 3 and find out the outcome.
All rise.
Thank you. You may be seated. I've been told that the jury has a verdict. Is that correct? Please hand it to the bailiff. Thank you. Will the Defendants, please rise to hear your verdict. Thank you. The jury has determined by the testimony given and by their own decision that God has raised Jesus Christ on the third day, and he was shown openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen by God. Through the testimonies that have been given, it is he, Jesus, who was ordained by God, and that by dying on the cross, whoever believes in him shall have their sins forgiven. So therefore, it is the decision of this court that these 11 apostles are found not guilty of all crimes.
Yes!
And the
Thank you.
Order back in the court. The charges against you are dismissed. Court is now adjourned. Thank you.
All rise.
Welcome back. This is WHTV News Channel 7, and I'm Liz Scott. Well, there you have it. The apostles have been cleared of all charges brought against them, and Jesus has risen from the grave. Let's check in with our WHTV News correspondent, Katie Sanford, and see what the reaction from the crowd is. Katie, are you there?
Yes, Liz, the cheers from the crowd when the verdict was announced is deafening. These followers of Jesus Christ never doubted for a moment that the apostles would be found not guilty. They knew Jesus rose on the third day because it was written in Scripture, and their belief in what was written had never faltered. I'm Katie Sanford with WHTV, reporting live from the very happy Chemung County Courthouse.
Tonight. Would you all please stand? Take a bow. Come on, let's do better than that. Let's clap for these fine people. Thank you. Thank you. Now for the best part. Are you ready for the word of the Lord? Introducing all the way from Horseheads, New York. Give it up for Pastor Mike.
Hallelujah. You see, the case of the missing body is truly the issue. Many of us in this room deal with truth. You see, everyone here today is looking for truth. Everyone here today has determined some level of truth in your own heart and your own mind. You see, many follow Jesus because they saw the miracles and the signs and the wonders, which cannot be doubted, because even the Jewish historians that were not Christians, Josephus and Eusebius, declared that Jesus did all these miraculous signs and wonders. You know, there was a man, his name was Dr. Greenleaf, and he was one of the four founders of Harvard University. You see, everybody is determining truth, looking for truth. One day, as he was teaching his class, one of the students raised their hands as he was diminishing the belief of Christianity, diminishing the Bible, and saying that Jesus did not raise from the dead, that it was just another religion. And one day, one of his students raised their hands and said, "Sir, have you ever researched the truth about the death and resurrection of Jesus?" His statement that day was, "I have never done that." And from that day forward, he started searching out truth. You see, everyone today is searching out truth. Everyone today is living what they believe is truth. Well, what happened was Dr. Greenleaf came to a conclusion. There was no way for him to find that Jesus did not live and Jesus did not die and did not raise from the dead. He came to the absolute conclusion that Jesus was a real man who did the real miracles, who died and was crucified, and on the third day rose from the dead. That man, Dr. Greenleaf, had to give his heart to Jesus because the truth was unsurfaced and Christ had risen from the dead. You see, a lot of people look at Christianity and look at this belief that resurrection happened, and we think it a fallacy or just a nice little religious story and a little fluff mentality that people that need crutches can grab a hold of. But today, I want to challenge you with truth, because truth will truly determine where you're going to go, whether it be heaven or hell. Truth that you determine is going to say for you and I how we will live. A lot of people say, well, I can make truth whatever I desire it to be. Well, let's look at that. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man that leads to death. Let me ask you a question. Is ISIS bad? You see, if you say, yes, it's bad, then you're going against somebody else's truth. Is murder bad? Well, some say yes and some say no. Well, is abortion bad? Some say yes, some say no. Is euthanasia bad? Some say yes, some say no. You see, when we have no solid truth, when truth is not understood, then everybody can do whatever they want and it's justified to themselves. But you see, when we come to truth, there is a reality that everything has to come into order. Now, with God, truth is powerful. Truth changes who we are. You see, those folks that followed Jesus, they came to an understanding that he was the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father but by them. They started following him. They started going after him. The 11 apostles served him. They went about in preaching the gospel of Christ with manifest miracles and signs and wonders, and many confessed Christ as their Lord and Savior. There were some who came to a truth that it was nice to follow him, that it was a good religious thing to follow Jesus around. But the Bible says he said hard sayings, John chapter 6. And all of a sudden, as he said a hard saying, he said, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, that a whole group of them, actually the whole mass of them, turned around and truth was not solid in their spirit, so they walked away from Jesus. Jesus then walked up to Peter and said, you know, where are you guys going to go too? And Peter said, where are we going to go, Jesus? You're the one with the words of eternal life. You see, some followed Jesus not because they believed he was the truth of the Messiah, but they believed that they wanted to unearth him, that they wanted to show that he was a lie and he was a fake and a fallacy. So their whole purpose of following him was just to destroy him. The truth is here, is that every one of us in this room, every one of us watching by live stream, every one of us have made a decision in our own heart, the level of truth that we will believe who Christ is. In that decision of truth, we are living the life that we desire to live according to what we believe is true. The issue is this: what you and I can determine as truth, if we have never studied, if we have never seen what was done here today, you look at this and you say, well, that's just a nice little production. I challenge you just like Dr. Greenleaf. I challenge you like Josh McDowell. I challenge you like other men and women who have actually studied the truth. And they've come to the conclusion, the same conclusion, historically, archaeologically, all the way through the principles of eyewitnesses, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who called himself the Messiah, was not a lunatic. He was not crazy, but on the third day, he rose from the dead. There's more archaeological proof and historical proof that Jesus rose than anybody else on the planet when it comes to historical value. See, every one of us has come to some level of revelation in our heart. Some of you came today because someone begged you to come. Some of you came today to fulfill some religious obligation you have in your head. But you see, all of that is nice, but Jesus made a statement. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If the truth, if Jesus is saying he is the only way into heaven, if Jesus is saying that I am the way, then we have to come to a conclusion of revelation in our spirit. Do we really believe the truth, or we just believe ourselves? Do we actually believe that Jesus is the one, or is there another? You see, let me ask you, I just want to say this to you. A lot of people have questioned truth. Questioning truth isn't bad. It's important to question truth. But the issue is that people will question truth but will not study out truth. Therefore, they'll make an ignorant decision. Therefore, they live in ignorance, yet the truth is available for them at any point that they will call upon the name of the Lord. You see, at His tabernacle, we don't have a religion for you to join. We don't have a church for you to join. We don't have a membership here. We do it for a reason. We don't have so that you can, you know, come and just say, well, you know what? I'm going to heaven because I go to a church. Jesus made a declaration. He said, I am the way, the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if the resurrection is absolutely true, then we must come to the conclusion that if I believe truth, I must yield my life to Him. For those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And when we confess Christ, when we start to live for Christ, we will live in truth, therefore establishing the body of Christ, therefore truly making a difference, having a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you see, when we do that, truth is truly declared from our lives. You see, some came to the conclusion, and their truth is that they didn't even know who Jesus was. Some came to the conclusion that He was a nice guy, a good prophet, but He was not truly God. Some have doubted Him. Some have rejected Him. Even in the room today, some of you have come to the cross before. Some of you have walked before Christ. Some of you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've had a true God experience. But today you came to a different truth in your head, that I'd rather live for myself than live for Christ. Or I'll have just enough time at the end to call out and I'll get saved at the very last moment. But every one of us need to come to a conclusion in our heart. If Jesus truly rose from the dead, then I've got to serve Him. I said, if Jesus Christ really rose from the dead, then I have to serve Him. I said, if Jesus Christ really rose from the dead, then I have to serve Him. You know, some of us in this room, we made that confession. It was real to us, and the genuine experience with Jesus cannot be denied. But how many of you know that at times when trials and troubles come in your life, that you start to doubt? How many here have ever doubted before? As if you don't raise your hand, you know you're not telling the truth. You see, trials and tribulations and situations in our lives, whether it be sickness or death, or whether it be people that are just struggling in their own life, we come to the place of questioning God. And I want you to know that it's okay to question, because the truth is strong enough to be questioned. I want you to know the disciples questioned. Can you imagine serving Jesus? Can you imagine walking with Him? Can you imagine when He raised the dead man in Nain? Can you imagine when He opened the blind eyes? Can you imagine when He would preach the gospel and, man, crowds of thousands upon thousands would sit in front with no megaphone and no microphone, and they just sit there for days? They didn't care if they ate. Can you imagine sitting there? But one day, that one who you believed, the one the truth declared that He was your Messiah, one day He hung on a cross and He took His last breath. When that spear went in and as the blood and water came mixed out, you knew He had died. Where did Jesus go? Listen now. The disciples questioned. They questioned even after they believed. Even after they determined the truth. When trials and tribulation came in their life, it shook their faith. You see, we've got to strengthen our faith, because the reality is trials and tribulations are coming. We've got to establish our life upon truth. You know, the guards questioned in Mark chapter 15. They were so solid that this was just a foolish man. So solid that He was not the Son of Man. But when and after the stabbing came, and you see, the earth also knew. They knew the truth. The earth started to shake in an earthquake. The veil knew the truth, for the veil rent in two in the Holy of Holies. And that day, even the centurion knelt down and he made a declaration. Truly, this was the Son of God. Truth is a revelation. Truth is an illumination. You see, today, I'm praying that God by his Spirit will not just give you a religious experience. You cannot just say, I went to church on Easter Sunday morning, but you'll make a declaration. I have a new revelation of the truth that Jesus Christ truly is the way, the truth, and the life, and that I will come to the Father only through the blood sacrifice and the resurrected power that Jesus performed while he was in the grave as he whooped the devil. Can I hear an amen? It all comes down to this for you, each one of us. Who do men say that I am? Every one of us, that answer is determined by truth. The truth we have concocted in our own mind, the truth that we have believed because of whatever scenario from our past. But the answer to that determines how you'll live, because you live according to your truth. Is Jesus truly the Son of God? Is Jesus truly the one who came to wash our sins away? Is Jesus truly the one who died on a cross and was mutilated for my sins? For he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Did Jesus Christ literally, not figuratively, did he raise from the dead on the third day? That truth, you see right there, who do men say that I am? Buddha is still dead. Muhammad is still dead. Confucius is still dead. All the other gods are still in the grave. There's only one who claimed to raise from the dead. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ is not a fallacy or a fictitious man, but he is truly a man. He called himself, he is the Son of God, and rose again on the third day for you. Your sins and mine. It all comes down to this truth. Who do you say he is? Because if he's truly the Messiah, if he's truly Christ, Christos, the anointed one, then we live different. If he's just a nice religious fictitious man, then we pay our little religious dues and go when we desire. But if he's truly the Lord, Adonai, if he's truly the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if this is truth, then we have to live differently. Can I hear an amen? Truth is established upon the rock, and the rock is Christ Jesus. You see, when we establish our life on the truth, then we live truth. We act out truth. We embody truth. We allow truth, for it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. We live different, and I declare today that in this region, in the name of Jesus, that God is not raising up a church filled with people, but that God is raising up a church filled with people that believe the word of truth, that believe the word of God, that will live the word of God, that will move in the word of God, that will act out the word of God. They will be a testimony no matter where they are, whether it be at work, at home, or at play. They will hold fast the word of Jesus, and we will live differently so that in these last days they will know that Jesus is not dead, but he is alive. In your challenge of life, no matter where it is, this is true. How you put your faith in Christ depends on your truth. Today, I want to challenge your truth. If you have never studied out, just like we saw in this courtroom, it is absolutely true, historically, archaeologically, intellectually, that Jesus rose from the dead. And if that truth is established in your life, I challenge you to receive the truth this morning, that your life will be changed forever. That's what we offer here at His Tabernacle. Religion won't get you anywhere. Jesus said in the book of Isaiah chapter 1, I hate your religion. I hate your new moon feasts. I hate your festivals. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Jesus is not interested in your attendance. Well, I thought everybody just, you know, every pastor wants everybody to go to church. I don't want you to go to church to go to church. I want you to go so you can be equipped for the work of the ministry, being brought to unity, be brought to maturity, so that you will step into the call of God of your life. You see, Jesus has a great plan for you. He has a design for you. Before he said, let there be light, and there was light, he foreordained your life to be born at this very moment of time in history and for you to be sitting here today. You're so important. And without you, God's plan can't be fully fulfilled. But that can only be determined by what you will accept as truth. Today, I'd like you to bow your heads with me. Today, I want to talk to you about receiving truth. The Word of God declares there's no other name under heaven which while you shall be saved but by the name of Jesus. There are not many ways that get you to heaven. There's only one way. I don't care what religious background you came from. I don't care if you came from a Pentecostal background, a Baptist background, an Episcopalian, a Lutheran, a Catholic. It doesn't matter what background you came because none of those tags are in heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus, the truth. Today, I want to introduce to you the very best friend you'll ever have. Today, if you do not know Jesus, I want to introduce you to him. And today, maybe you're one who lost faith, like the disciples. They went back. Today, if you feel like you've gone back and you want to come home today, you want to be like that prodigal child, today is your day. I sense the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, increase right now. Increase right now. Holy Spirit, start drawing people to you. Start drawing people to you. That today, the truth will make them free. Today, if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. Come on, slide your hand up if you want to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. I want Christ to be my Lord. Thank you very much. I see your hand in the back. Thank you over there, folks. I see your hands. Very good. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else? Come on. Thank you over on that side. Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand. Yes, thank you very much for here in the front. Come on. In the back, I see your hand over there. Thank you. You can put them right back down once you raise them up. Is there anyone else? I'm not going to wait real long. Come on. The gavel has hit. The truth is established. Who will you live for? Who will you believe? 5, come on, get your hand up. 4, 3, 2, get your hand up. Thank you. Last call, 1. You see, each one just made a decision according to the truth that they're willing to receive. Some of you have sat there and said, I don't know. I don't believe in religion. I challenge you. Don't make a decision in ignorance. I challenge you to study. There's a phenomenal book that you can read. It's called Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell. It does it in a court session just like this. It will prove the resurrection of Christ. Dr. Greenleaf, you can actually get online. His dissertation is right online about how he came to these conclusions. But if you make a decision without studying, if you decide against Christ without studying, that's called willful ignorance. And I challenge you, you don't have to be. You can live for Christ and have a fulfilling life. Can I hear an amen? Let's all stand to our feet. I thank you so much for coming today. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, thank you so much for coming today? Turn to the person next to you on the other side and say, are you coming back next week?